It's a lot of this stuff is very interesting, not only insofar as what we're talking about, obviously, and the parallels we're drawing, but in the fact that, again, the sort of the unofficial motto of One Step Beyond and all the efforts that that we've been involved in here in KFJC has been that those who cannot learn from history are doomed to repeat it. History does repeat itself. History is, in fact, repeating itself, hopefully with less tragic results this time, although certainly there have been tragedies aplenty already. And all one has to do is listen to the rhetoric of the radical right, the religious right, whatever you want to call it in this country, which basically, tempered slightly for more temperate times, basically reiterates all of the bigotry of the Nazis. Again, Jimmy Swaggart, that self-same man who is, currently residing in National Assemblies of God purgatory because of his adventures in a motel room. Jimmy Swaggart, who, as of the time of this broadcast, for those of you who are listening on tape, as just within the last week and a half that the Jimmy Swaggart scandal has broken, the allegations of him going to, well, in his admission that he went to motel rooms with prostitutes, et cetera, et cetera. Jimmy Swaggart himself has been, of course, one of the most virulent of anti-homosexual preachers in the televangelical movement, and has basically been one of the people who's been talking about AIDS as being the hand of God against the sinners, and not only that, but more importantly, suggesting that the homosexuals themselves have a political agenda, which is to take over the United States and basically force homosexuality as a lifestyle down the throats of Mr. and Mrs. Front Porch and their little front porchettes.
Bearing in mind now Goebbels' statement that Ernst Röhm was infiltrating his homosexual cronies into key positions in the German government and army. Before we expand out a little bit, again, the point that the Nazis literally viewed homosexuality as an epidemic is worth perhaps dwelling on for a second. One of the things that we have been focusing on for many years here on this program is our contention, and I think at this point the evidence is not only compelling but overwhelming, that AIDS is in fact a biological warfare experiment, specifically the application of genetic engineering to the art, if one could call it that, of biological warfare. Given the profound influence of the Third Reich's national security establishment on our own, through the incorporation at the end of World War II of not only the Nazi Eastern Front Intelligence Organization under Reinhard Gehlen, but also the Nazi scientists under the Project Paperclip, one wonders to what extent the Nazi view of homosexuality as an epidemic may have perhaps provided the imaginational spark for somebody to say, hey, you know, why not have a real epidemic, and that'll be tremendously effective.
I think that if one puts it in the perspective that if Josef Mengele and his Auschwitz fun boys came up with a virus that would have killed Jews and homosexuals in Nazi Germany, do you think that the Nazis would have hesitated to use it?
Not only that, but in fact, Josef Mengele at Auschwitz was doing his well-publicized experiments on twins. He was exploring genetics, and he wasn't doing it out of idle intellectual curiosity. He was not a philosopher. He was a warrior. He was a soldier and an exterminator, and his genetic experiments were obviously being conducted with an eye toward genocide.
Indeed. All of these things are rather interesting. Unfortunately, they're interesting mainly because they're extremely frightening. And as Dave pointed out earlier in the broadcast, while not wanting to put ourselves in the position of saying people disbelieve us, therefore we're right, or other people that people disbelieved were right, therefore we're right, we prefer to let the information speak for itself and let people make up their own minds about this. However, again, the point should be reemphasized that things are different in some ways, but in many other ways they are oh so very much the same, and the very same people that were called conspiracy mongers and alarmists during the 1930s and were reviewed by the populace in much the same way that folks who are talking about the right wing in this country reviewed were later proved to be fatefully prophetic, and doesn't mean Dave and I are fatefully prophetic, but we think the information is certainly fatefully prophetic.
Let's hope that the following passage from the Pink Triangle does not apply to contemporary people in this society as it did, regrettably, to the victims of Nazism. Again, from the Pink Triangle. Only when it was too late did some grasp that Hitler's program of wholesale destruction would indeed be carried out, its scope widening year after year. The initial misreading of the implications of the Nazis' policy of systematic violence was shared by almost all of those who were their victims. Union leaders, shrewd politicians of the center and the right, Marxists, Jewish scientists, writers, lawyers, and of course, homosexuals of all professions and educational levels. To be sure, a small minority did read the omens correctly and managed to leave Germany before it was too late. But many stayed behind to face their doom uncomprehendingly. And I'll let Nip, since we're improvising at this point in the broadcast, I'll let Nip read you the close to the pink triangle here, which is also very apropos as soon as I can find it. At this point, yeah, as I said...
And then we're going to close for real.
Yeah.
We're going to have to wrap up and give some announcements and stuff. But, yes, this is radio in the making, folks, even as we sit here. Again, not to suggest that any kind of messiahhood, I mean, that's a really important thing to make clear. Dave and I are not maintaining that somehow we have a bright vision that no one else can see, but what we're saying is that if you look at the stuff, you look at the record, you look at the way these things happen time after time after time in history, let's face it, folks, you know, when you begin to understand gravity, you begin to understand when something goes up in the air, it's going to come back down, and... it's really difficult to get out from under it if you don't understand that.
And again, bear in mind the conclusion of the Pink Triangle.
Reading from the end of Richard Plant's book. Thus, the fate of the gays under the Third Reich may serve as a touchstone for all those victims swept away by the hurricane of hatred. To this day, the extent and impact of this catastrophe has not been fully understood. At the end of hostilities... When Allied soldiers first entered the concentration camps, they did not really comprehend what they saw. And despite the overwhelming flood of information about the Nazis' infernal machine, we have still not understood what it may foreshadow. In many ways, the specters of the Third Reich still haunt us. Not because a few elderly Nazis may be hiding in South America, and not because groups of younger neo-Nazis demand attention with recycled swastika ideologies and emblems. The specters begin to come to life whenever fanatic fundamentalists of any sect, religious or secular, take over a nation and call for a holy war against its most vulnerable and vilified minorities.
Indeed, and I think that is as fitting a wrap-up to the program as we could possibly give. Now, again, for those of you who may have caught part of the broadcast and would like to get a copy of this tape, and certainly, I don't know, I think I can speak for Nip in saying I don't think we've ever done a more important broadcast, although I think many others are as important. All of our archive shows are on permanent file with a tape duplication service. The name of that tape duplication service is Archives on Audio. Archives on Audio. That's it. The address is P.O. Box 170023, Box 170023. That's in San Francisco, and the zip code is 94117-0023. The phone number is area code 415-346-1840. 415-346-1840. Write or phone to the attention of Paul. And again, neither Nip nor myself nor the station gets any money off of this. Once again, that address. Archives on Audio, P.O. Box 170023, San Francisco, California, 94117-0023. 415-346-1840.
Okay, any other things you want to throw out for the non-tape audience, for up-and-comings? And-